One of the elements that we're supposed to be celebrating on the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time is something that is called a fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of nine from the fifth chapter of St. Paul to the Galatians. And that element, that fruit is called kindness. As a matter of fact, it is known when one has kindness to be of good character. As a matter of fact, as William Bennett, who once upon a time, a Catholic, was the Secretary of Education, I believe under President Reagan once upon a time, said the definition of character is what we do when no one's looking. The character that we are given that belongs to the cross is when we are baptized, we're given the character of Christ, when we're anointed with holy oil. And we're also, of course, with water, that element that symbolizes the movement of the Holy Spirit. Water and breath symbolize the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It gives us those nine fruits. You know, charity, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, benignity, long-suffering. And it goes on that what penetrates is that seal and that sign that we could call the sign of the cross. But the whole thing that's being emphasized, I think, even in the second reading today from St. Paul, is that Christ causes us to die to sin because he took on our sins. And the death to sin that is especially happening to us is it's a death to selfishness. It's a death to that ego that is supreme instead of emphasizing the presence of God in our life. So kindness is particularly one of those manifestations of the divine. Kindness hangs on the cross. It is the kindness of the Father that sends his Son to be one of us, to manifest the philosophy of altruism. Altruism means, of course, that one suffers for the sake of the many. If you're parents, you know what it's like to be altruistic. You sacrifice and go without for the good of your children, for your spouse. You sacrifice in many ways for the good of the many. Oh, we have our moments of selfishness. Of course, it's the human condition and the effects of original sin. But the element of kindness is one of those things that it seems to me is often lost in our culture. In that, for whatever reasons, there's a lot of mean-spiritedness. The tragedy of that self-centeredness, it goes on, but again, we are called not to react to that with also a kind of meanness, but a sense of basic kindness or charity to others. Treat others the way you'd like to be treated. I'm going to date myself here, which I'm constantly doing, of course, because the older I get, the more cultural connection that I used to have in the comfort zone is not shared necessarily by those who come after me, if you will. So if I say the name Bennett Cerf to you, that might mean nothing to you. But when I was growing up, he was known for his columns, basically about human character, that he had in most national newspapers and some magazines. He was a contributing columnist to the New York Herald Tribune, always good news. He was also quite the financier, an entrepreneur, so he was successful that way. But he had a certain characteristic about him that celebrated human nature, especially in the secular world. And he was known for his acts of kindness, many of them not known until after he died, and at his funeral and time after that, people would come forward and say what he had done for them, that again, something he did when no one was looking. There's a story that he told that I always remember, and of course, I'm dating myself. It had to do with the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, for those of you who don't know, Ed Sullivan used to have a Sunday night program, and it was a variety show. It was Ed Sullivan, if you please, that introduced the Beatles to the United States of America, but wait, there's more. Also Elvis Presley. He had a variety show. He had the whirling dervishes. He had stand-up comedians. He had people who would give a little bit of social commentary, a lot of in a comedic way. but it was a family show. One of the things that is not known about Ed Sullivan is that twice a year, he used to gather celebrities together, and he would take them to various hospitals during the Vietnam War. And in New York City, with those men and women who came back, changed and influenced in very negative ways, as war will do, he used to bring these celebrities and get the people who were ailing and wounded and suffering, and he'd gather them in a big atrium in the hospital, and he would have them in some case do songs, sometimes doing dance, sometimes doing comedies, and he'd bring a bevy of them. Well, one particular incident, he brought Jimmy Durante. You probably don't know who he was, but when I was growing up, he was someone who did stand-up comedy. He was a music and dance man from the times of vaudeville. Maybe you haven't heard about vaudeville either, but it's early Broadway. But anyway, Jimmy Durante was famous for his comedic talent, a voice like gravel. And every now and then would take out the hat and the cane and do a sand song and dance, and he invited Jimmy, could you please come? Well, I can come and do one number, he said, but I got a very remunerative gig at a private party down at in the middle of New York City and at the Plaza Hotel. And he said, I don't want to miss it. I can only do one show. Fine, Ed Sullivan said. So they gathered all these people, and Jimmy Durante, since he had to go, was the very first. He goes out, and he does that inky-dinky-doo. You probably don't know what that is. It was a silly kind of a song that he danced to, and also, and you had to know him to do his shtick. I can remember watching that, and my parents used to get hysterical at it, and I'd look at them, and I'd say, what am I missing? But it seemed to appeal to them. And of course, after a while, it became kind of Americana. Well, he went out and he did one number. He got this uproarious applause. And then he decided to do another number. The applause. Then he did a number and applause. He did 9 different shows, 9 different shticks, if you will, in one particular time that went way overboard. And when he was done, he came back in, and Ed Sullivan said, Jimmy, you were great, and that applause was great, but you know, it's late, you probably missed your gig at the hotel. He said, that's okay. He said, you know, just to see that audience and their response was so moving. And he wrote this. Ed Sullivan poked his head through the curtain and spotted 2 lieutenants in the front row divan, applauding happily. The lieutenant on the right had lost his left arm. The one on the left had lost his right arm. With no semblance of self-consciousness, they were clapping their 2 remaining hands together and giving Jimmy Durante the most soul-satisfying round of applause he could ever in his life have received. An act of kindness on the part of Jimmy Durante led to an act of kindness, of course, on an audience that was more than appreciative. This famous man, this American icon, if you will, of comedy and theater, coming even to give them one show, and yet he took an hour and more, and they showed their applause in all kinds of ways with their limbs clapping. It overwhelmed Jimmy Durante, and it overwhelmed a lot of the people who heard the story. You know, acts of kindness can overwhelm us. We call it wonder and awe. We do things that are oftentimes not seen. A politeness, a thank you, doing something for someone with no expectation at all that I'm going to be reciprocated on that. Just because. It's an act of the presence of the sealing of baptism on us when we do those kindnesses. There goes Christ. There goes the kingdom of God breaking in. The gospel today talks about You must love more, mentions parents. You must love more your children. You must love more. It might not seem like a great big deal, a small nuance, but whenever you study the scriptures, Luke, who was writing for non-Jews, says you must hate your mother and father. You must hate your children. And if you don't hate them, don't love, they are not loving God then, because God comes first. Well, the hate puts many people off. He was writing to a group of Gentiles coming from paganism that might have been comfortable with the concept of hate and revenge because they had no concept of the covenant, of treat others the way you'd like them to treat you, or something from Proverbs, a silent answer turneth away wrath, or 1 John, all I ask is that you love each other. So Matthew, who's writing to the Jewish community, says, you must love more. You must love more. The whole idea, of course, the Jewish concept of elements of style in their literature is exaggeration, hyperbole. Of course you love your parents. Of course you love your children. The whole idea is, from Matthew and in all the scriptures, God must come first. You see, when we put the Lord and the law of love and our baptism grace first, acts of kindness and all of the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit naturally flow from us. It is a spontaneous, genuine, authentic action that comes from the grace of goodness that is inside of us. Even because we're human beings. Genesis says God created us and fill in the blank of all that he created and saw that he was good. But he makes us, there's good, better, and best. He makes us our best when we are baptized, because then we have this well, if you will, this repository of the merits of the cross that we carry around inside of us. And being close to the Word, which reminds us of this, the Word of God, and equally important is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Equally important, besides Mass and Holy Communion, is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Adoration is an extension of the Eucharistic Mass. When I go to adoration, I pour out my lamentation. I invite him in to the most guilty or shameful or sad or angry part of what's going on in my life. He comes in and he takes it to himself, just as he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before the Judas kiss, when he was feeling the whole weight of mankind's sin, took it upon himself, all consolation withdrawn from him by the Father. And still he went forward and had himself nailed in that heinous torture as a pure act of loving kindness for human beings. He's done so much for us. What do we do in return? Loving kindness. That's what St. Paul calls Jesus Christ in one of his epistles. He is loving kindness. So, in this very strange world that we have, the thing that we accent is, what can I do for the good of others? Is one of our My novice master used to say to us, what's good for the people around me? You know, it can dictate our health. Do you know that negativity can ruin or influence our health? I'll give you an example, negative and positive. Love is a positive force. Anger is a negative force that can hurt my health and my relationships. Trust can hurt my health. Excuse me, trust can help my health. Suspicion will ruin relationships. Friendship will help. Alienation will shut us down. Intimacy is a gift we are invited to with appropriate boundaries. To withdraw can be sinful because I cut myself off from doing kindness or receiving kindness and goodness and forgiveness from others. We are called to form community. When I think about myself being victimized, it's me against them, I shut down to God's grace in this world. I no longer see goodness about me, not even in myself. Captain of my soul is a good thing. Victim of circumstance is not. Confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. The opposite of that is fear. What does Frank Herbert say in the Dune trilogy when we are fearful to overcome it? I will not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the many deaths that leads to total obliteration. I will confront my fear, and fear will wash over me, and I will look to see where fear has gone, and fear will be no more. It has to be confronted. The fear and apprehension is often worse than the real thing. Optimism, build up. Pessimism, cuts off. Exultation, I glory in the Lord. Depression, again, I shut myself down. I am stimulated by the presence of God and goodness in human nature. And in my memories, I recall that stimulation, those good deeds and things and people. Boredom, well, you know, what's that being about a devil's workshop? Strong goals, important in our life to focus. No direction, I'm a feather in the wind and will believe in anything. And finally, that experience of wow or aha, that sense, and parents know it, I think. I hear it all the time from young parents. They start to look at the eyes through their young children, and all of a sudden, everything takes on this glitter or glow or wonder that they'd forgotten or even hadn't realized in a long time, if at all. So that wow experience about the presence of God in the world, as opposed to no big deal, that's sarcasm. That's the worst of wit. It's the opposite of humor, which is a belly laugh. Wit can often be sarcastic, and we can cut people to the quick. Kindness is something we have to work on constantly. In the best of times, we can lose a sense of that and look down instead of up. It's the sacraments that will keep us focused, especially on grace building on our nature, which is what St. Paul is talking about in his whole letter today. Grace builds on our nature. To avoid grace, which means God's strength, is to weaken ourselves and lessen the strength of our relationship of intimacy to our Lord. And from that, intimacy and friendship and trust with others. Loving kindness. A couple of years ago, I went into, I think it was the kindergarten. I was talking about loving kindness. It was one of the epistles. And I said, can you give me example, children now, can you give me example of loving kindness? And this little boy says, when I'm hungry, if you give me a piece of bread, that's loving. If you put jam on it, that's kindness.